What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Locked On Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am Brady Trantham, and for the next 30 minutes or so, you will be Locked On Thunder. It's Thursday, and two shows back-to-back, so hopefully you all listened to the show yesterday for the explanation for the two-week hiatus. Again, apologies for that one. Weird times, indeed. But I'll do my best to give you guys some Thunder content to take your mind off some things, maybe feel a little bit more normal. It makes me feel a little bit more normal, too. I miss basketball just as much as you do, but let's just have fun with it. Today's show, we'll talk about some NBA news concerning Christian Wood, the Detroit Pistons player who Thunder fans should be very well aware of, because every time the Pistons played the Thunder this year, which was just only twice, being there in the Eastern Conference, Christian Wood had career games and just torched the Thunder. But some news on him, some very, very good news on Christian Wood. Then also some league news concerning some pay cuts. But, you know, these are weird times, like I said, and it's affecting everybody's life. Luxuries, pocketbooks. I mean, it's affecting everything, and it's even affecting a multi-billion dollar business like the NBA. And then later on, we'll talk about potentially missing out on the season. What could that mean for the Oklahoma City Thunder? What could that mean for Sam Presti in the front office moving forward when basketball is ever able to return? Again, assuming that the season is ultimately scrapped. That's the worst case scenario in terms of basketball for the 2019-2020 season, that is. What could happen in the event of a season cancellation? And just the sad story that it would be that this Oklahoma City Thunder team doesn't necessarily get a normal, we don't get to see its ending. So as we all remember, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell were two of the first players across the league to test positive for the coronavirus. And since then, a handful of players have unfortunately tested positive. Some we don't know. I believe the Lakers announced last week or so, or anywhere from 7 to 10 days ago, that they had two players test positive for it. They haven't revealed who those players were, but Thunder fans are also well aware that Kevin Durant had tested positive. He was one of the three Nets that tested positive for COVID-19. And then Christian Wood, right after Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell were initially diagnosed with the coronavirus more than 2 weeks ago, Christian Wood was pretty much the third guy to be named to be testing positive for COVID-19. And thankfully, he has fully recovered, according to a source. He was first diagnosed with it on March 14th. And has since tested negative twice. And I believe the policy is after you've been quarantined, and hopefully you're not one of those unfortunate people that have to be put in a hospital. If you're just able to quarantine in your home, deal with the symptoms, either with some medicine or rest and recovery, you're supposed to test negative for it twice. And Christian Wood has tested negative for it again, which is, of course, great news. It should give hope to those that if you are stricken with the coronavirus, it's not a death sentence. So always look for some hope and some optimism. And it's like, yeah, they are NBA athletes, but it's not just because he's an athlete that he was able to get through the virus. I mean, Tom Hanks is in no way in the same type of shape as a Christian Wood or a Donovan Mitchell. And he went through his process with his wife, Rita Wilson. They tested negative, and they are fine. So there is hope. The rest of the Pistons tested negative around Christian Wood. And those players and staffers and coaches are still being quarantined, but I'm going to assume that their quarantine time is about to end either today or tomorrow. But overall, great news. Christian Wood is a great player. He's a good guy. I've actually had a chance to talk to him a handful of times since I've been covering the Thunder. He's really talkative. He's really nice, really approachable. And it was awesome to kind of see him start to flourish this season with the Pistons, and especially against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Guy just lit it up, especially in that last game in Detroit where the Thunder almost lost in the fourth quarter, thanks in large part to Christian Wood going 5 of 5 from the three-point line going into the fourth quarter until he cooled off a little bit. And the Thunder, of course, were able to take advantage and then ultimately get the win. Well, some league news. This is coming from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN just about over an hour ago. The NBA is reducing base salaries by 20%. Of approximately 100 of the league office's top earning executives around the world. And Woj goes on to say, and quote NBA spokesman Mike Bass, "These are unprecedented times, and like other companies across all industries, we need to take short-term steps to deal with the harsh economic impact of our businesses and organizations." Woj goes on to say, the salary reductions includes Commissioner Adam Silver and Deputy Commissioner Mark Tatum. Sources said, there are no widespread cuts to the rest of the organization. No support or administrative staff are top executives and senior leaders are first to take the cuts now. Which is, this is just an unfortunate side effect of the world basically being put on pause. You know, no work means not a lot of pay for a lot of people, unfortunately. And with the NBA missing out on games, they're missing out on advertising revenue. They're missing out on just game day revenue. They're missing out on everything that you could possibly make as a league. And even, I would imagine, merchandising sales are probably being put to somewhat of a halt compared to what it would be in a regular year and a regular season, because I'm sure people are probably sitting on their money a little bit more stringently with an unknown short-term future ahead of them. You know, you can't really spend $80 on a jersey or $100+ on a pair of Kyrie Irvings right now. You need to be thinking about, you know, food and bills that you have to pay. So the NBA doing this, no doubt, is a consequence of that. But I would assume, just from, you know, the surface, this is a good little move, just because, you know, the big wigs are taking the pay cut. Now, of course, the billionaire owners aren't taking any pay cuts from what I can tell, or from what I've heard. It could always be worse, of course. The NBA could be asking the players to be taking a 20% pay cut, and I think that they are guaranteed to be paid up until April 1st, and at last that I read, April 15th is not guaranteed as of yet, but I see this as a move for the NBA to possibly stretch out their amount of time that they can pay their players, because the NBA, of all the leagues, understands that the players run the league. The players are the reason why fans care, that fans tune in and show up to the arenas and pack the house. It's because of the players. So I'm sure the NBA wants to do the best they can to take care of the players. And Chris Paul, even as the president of their Players Association, is probably working hand in hand with the league office to make sure that that's the case. And if you remember, a few days ago, the 76ers had announced that they are wanting to reduce the salary of a lot of their lower-level employees. And then thanks to about that, of course, on the surface, looks worse than what the NBA as a league is doing right now with their pay cuts. And thanks to a lot of bad PR, the Sixers are planning to change course and pull back on salary reductions for their staff. This is also from Adrian Wojnarowski in a statement from the Philadelphia 76ers. After listening to our staff and players, it is clear that was the wrong decision. We have reversed it and we'll be paying these employees their full salary. So it's like, yeah, of course. The big wigs at the top of the ladder are going to have money for a little bit longer of a period than those that are depending on paycheck to paycheck money than even the players. And yeah, it'd be nice if every player was paid like a Ben Simmons or a Joel Embiid, but not every player is paid like him. Not every player in the NBA has a great endorsement deal that can take care of them outside of just being a basketball player for a long time. A lot of guys are, you know, after agent fees, after, you know, bills from the house that they buy, from whatever they're spending their money on, they have about as much money relatively, you know, the lower level guys on the bench, they have about as much money to spend on life things like food, water, shelter, as probably a working class person does relative to what they make and what their lifestyle is. Now, that it still might be a little too far-fetched. That still might be a little bit more laughable, I guess, in that perspective. But everybody needs their job, and everybody needs to have money in order to survive, sadly. So good that the NBA and the Sixers are kind of, or at least the Sixers are pivoting to more of a, like, duh, this is what you're supposed to do phase. And the NBA is already basically learning from what their teams are doing, like, let's not get that bad PR. Let's just go ahead and take pay cuts and bite the bullet for now with the big wigs, and then we'll decide things a little bit later as we get further down the road with this coronavirus pandemic. Before we get any further, let me tell you about one of the ultimate life hacks. It's hard to find the time to sit down and read and learn more. When you don't have the free time, which we all have free time now, you can't read or work on personal development. There's an incredible app that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is a really unique app, and it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist is the best. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health, to history books. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists, as well as classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read but never had the time to, which, again, we all have time to right now. In fact, I've already read one book, and I'm currently reading 11 Rings by Phil Jackson, which is a great book, by the way. There's a lot of popular books that they offer, like Sea Stories, My Life and Special Operations by William H. McRaven, The Sports Gene, Inside the Science of Extraordinary Athletic Performance by David Epstein, and so on. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/MBA, try it free for 7 days, and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/MBA to start your 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/MBA. And welcome back to the Locked On Thunder podcast, everybody. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am Brady Trantham. And I don't know about you all listening out there. I want to be optimistic that the NBA can return this season. I already gave you guys my crazy idea as to how they could probably come back in a realistic manner with a good amount of time to get the players back into basketball shape, to have a regular season or at least a condensed form of a regular season, and then your postseason and in front of fans. And that was in the South Korea idea, which if you didn't get to it, go check it out. It's the last segment of that episode. I like the idea, but I would like to hear what you guys think about it. But with each passing day, I feel like I'm pretty much reserved to the fact that the NBA is probably going to get canceled this year. And the main reason why is because looking at the projections from all the smart people concerning the coronavirus, Right now, I think a lot of early projections are claiming that the peak of the virus will be in the next 3 weeks. But even they admit that that's kind of on the side of optimism. And as we know, with viruses, they can come and go. They come in waves. Even the Spanish flu, which did affect Oklahoma over 100 years ago, it popped up in the early spring, went away in the summer, and then, of course, came back in the fall with a vengeance and unfortunately killed a lot of Oklahomans as a result. And so in this meantime, if it does flare up in 3 weeks, if it does peak in 3 weeks, and then somewhat subsides because of all the self-quarantining that a lot of people are taking or that are participating in, all these businesses being closed down, no gatherings of 10 or more people going on, it's going to drop the number of cases down significantly over time, especially in a short period of time when you're talking about under a month. It's going to shut it down somewhat. But the second that we all decide to come back out and get back into our normal routine of our lives, it's unfortunately going to flare back up again because we simply don't have a vaccine for it just yet. And that's going to be the kicker. That's going to be the one that takes over a year. But I mean, already there's hundreds of trial vaccines in effect and going on all over the world. So, you know, God willing, one of those trial vaccines works and it's the secret formula to save, you know, basically the world so that we can all get back to work, so that we can all get back to sports and everything that we enjoy about life as soon as possible. But if that doesn't happen, well, we'll come back out of our self-quarantine at some point. Now, then people are going to start getting sick again in larger numbers because we're all out and about with one another. And I apply that to the NBA, where if they decide, okay, the cases have dropped, blah, 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 let's try and play in practice arenas or in arenas without fans, I just don't know how you could guarantee the health and safety of your players, coaches, and staff, because they're flying to and fro all over the country. And travel's already kind of going to be pretty much a headache. So just from that standpoint alone, if you can't guarantee the health and safety of your spectators, so you're going to turn them away from watching games in person, how can you guarantee the health and safety of your players? And that's why I just feel more and more like, yep, the NBA is probably going to hang it up for this season and call it a day. And again, I want there to be basketball again, but I think if you think about the alternative, which is, they go back out there. The players are obviously not in shape compared to what they were 2 weeks ago when the season was still going strong. You're going to have a condensed regular season, or you're just going to go straight into the postseason. And then you could potentially have an outcome that isn't going to seem natural. For instance, what if the Clippers or the Lakers get bounced in the second round? Because their guys are just simply not as in sync as their opponent, and their opponent catches fire. Or what if the NBA decides, okay, we're going to do a best of three or a best of five series? Well, that's just not fair. That's not how things are done in the NBA. I just feel like that if you do something and this season becomes even more weird, I feel like you're going to just have a lot more complaining, a lot more bitching and moaning from players. It's not going to age well. I think the best way that this season can age, because of the reality of the situation, is if you just simply call it. And if this is just the lost season, then it's just the lost season. There's consequences on both sides. There's pros on both sides as well. I just feel like the pros of canceling the season, to me, make a lot more sense when you think about the history of the game and records and how we compare eras and compare teams and players. I mean, if the NBA just decides to rush back into the postseason, give everybody about a week or two to basically go through a training camp and then, all right, go out there and play basketball like you mean it, and then the Pacers end up winning the NBA Finals, I mean, is anybody going to really take it that seriously? I mean, of course, Pacers fans would be excited and the Pacers themselves would be excited, but I don't think anybody would ever look back on this season and the Pacers as a champion and go, yep, they earned it. And that was one of the better teams that we've ever seen. Like, I think too much can be compromised in that respect. In addition to the whole health aspect, which I'm just not that familiar with, and I just don't know how the NBA could think that they could play in quote-unquote a bubble at that point. Now, if the season does end, it is truly a shame that this Oklahoma City Thunder team didn't get an ending. At the same time, I think we all understand it was going to end at some point. It could have ended in the first round in disappointing fashion. It could have ended in the first round in kind of a, you know, they pushed the Nuggets to seven, or they pushed the Jazz or the Rockets to seven games. So a valiant effort by these spunky little Thunder squad. Either that, or they get out of the first round, give Thunder fans a taste of the second round for the first time since 2015-2016, and then probably get outclassed in the second round by one of the LA teams or perhaps even Denver. Needless to say, the Chris Paul Oklahoma City Thunder this season was going to end. And even if it was disappointing in terms of a first-round quick exit, I think it would, in the short term, take away from the great season that Chris Paul, Danilo Gallinari, Billy Donovan, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Steven Adams, that everybody on this team had. And so in a weird way, I feel like the season potentially ending with a win on the road against Boston in the manner that they won it, the emotion that Chris Paul showed after the game ended, and then his post-game interview with Nick Gallo, I think that's about as beautiful of an ending as you can possibly have. Because this team wasn't going to win a championship. They're not talented enough. They're not experienced enough in terms of everybody else on the team outside of Steven, Danilo, and Chris Paul. They just don't have the horses. And at some point, they were just going to get outclassed and out-talented. So there's a part of me that kind of appreciates that if the season does end, and that's how that team goes out, I'm always going to remember this season fondly. This is going to be, of course, a unique season, to say the least, but it's nice that in this unique season that the Thunder could have just as equally of a unique ending. Not to mention that the season was pretty much put on halt in Oklahoma City during right before a Thunder game. So the team that nobody cared about going into the season, that everybody thought was going to be bad, like the Cleveland Cavaliers, everybody thought this player is going to get traded, that player is going to get traded, they're going to tank like the Golden State Warriors and be bad, and you're going to hear names of starters that you've never heard of before. That team ended their season with a huge win against the Boston Celtics and put themselves in position to potentially, for the time being, grab the 4 seed from the Utah Jazz and then potentially go into the playoffs with home court advantage. And I don't know about you guys, but that seems kind of beautiful. And when you know, we ran out of time. So tomorrow, I'll leave it for tomorrow. For tomorrow, we will go over some of the things and some of the questions that could arise if the season does end. How does that affect Sam Presti and his decision-making? Let's just make some guesses and have fun with it. I actually wrote about it a little bit on thefranchiseok.com. Just go to the website. You can find my last name, Trantham, on the front page. Just click that tab, scroll down. It's the first article that you'll see. It's just questions that arise from potentially losing the season for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Let's have fun with it. Ask some questions. See where it takes us. But until tomorrow, everybody, y'all have a good rest of your day.